This recording is from the ACA World Convention that was held virtually in May of 2021. The ACA World Service Organization is grateful to all who contributed to making this convention happen, as well as to all who participated. ACA is an anonymous program. Please respect the anonymity of those that participated in the event. To learn more about the ACA Fellowship, please visit us online at adultchildren.org, where you can find information for newcomers, as well as free literature for download. Information about doing service in the ACA Fellowship can be found at acawso.org and acawsoec.org. To purchase literature or to make a Seventh Tradition contribution, please go to shop.adultchildren.org. We hope you enjoy the following recording from the 6th Annual World Convention, Global Recovery, in May 2021.
Thank you very much. And now, this is the workshop, Boundaries, Principles, Practice, Progress. My name is Wendy F. I'll be chairing our workshop. I'm currently serving as a secretary of a Boundaries Subcommittee of Literature Committee, and I've also recently started 2 boundary meetings. I'm so excited for this workshop and to talk with ACA members who are exploring what boundaries means to them in their ACA recovery. While I'm introducing our presenters, please introduce yourself in the chat. And I would like to introduce that today we have Ellen F. and we have Duncan B. who are assisting us as co-hosts for tech. And I would say if they can just notice the chat, because when you introduce yourself in the chat, can you include the language that you speak when you share in meetings or languages from your childhood? This is because later in the session, we will be creating breakout rooms labeled by language. And we'd like to be sure we do not miss your language. We will try our best. We currently have 32 languages ready to go. So in this workshop, and I apologize that only the panelists are able to unmute at this time, but we will have times when we can change that. And so that's when that will get, that will be changed. So we have a PowerPoint with Helen presenting that. We have a panel with Louis B., Christina, and Marius. We will have a guided meditation, and Margot will be joining us with a share. You will have an opportunity to share in a breakout room. And in the main room, there will be a Q&A. And the final portion of this session is Christine B. and possibly Charlie H., who will be inviting you to exciting volunteer opportunities throughout the world. Don't forget to name your language in the chat. And just in case there's a language we didn't know was here. So I would like to say that we are now going to have the opportunity to hear Helen W.'s PowerPoint. 7 years ago, Helen discovered boundaries in ACA and decided it should be a part of her life. She wanted to help carry the message to other adult children, and she has given introductory boundaries presentations in the past. However, today's presentation is about boundaries and reparenting, and it was inspired by Louis B.'s presentation, Soothing Your Inner Child in Stressful Times. And we are so lucky that Louis B. is on our panel after this presentation. I feel immense gratitude for Helen's work and to be able to witness the meeting of minds, hearts, and souls. Many people have collaborated for the creation of this PowerPoint presentation, and how generously writers in the ACA Fellowship have shared their gifts with us so that we can have this literature as an integral part of my recovery. And I have chosen to volunteer as a copy editor and do copy edits for PowerPoints like this one. I've found the right service home for me. I encourage everyone to go to these sessions this weekend and explore the possibility that there's a service home for you. Helen and I are humbled and honored that we are able to share this presentation with you today. Thank you for participating with us. Helen, I turn it over to you now.
Thank you very much. And here's my introduction. When we have recovery, we have to be confident in ourselves and trust ourselves. We have to be able to clearly communicate what we will and will not do and practice self-love rather than judgment. It's a hard one for me. We need to learn that we cannot control or change other people, but that we see how their behavior may trigger our laundry list traits. When we're new to recovery, we may wish to detach with love from friends or family members who we feel impede our recovery. This may be because of past traumas, unwanted judgment or advice coming from us, or simply giving ourselves a safe place where we can feel our own feelings as we review our past. When we establish a boundary, we break the don't talk, trust, don't feel rules. We also break the don't remember rule when we review our trigger and the event from our past and we ask ourselves, what does this remind me of? With the help of my higher power, we let go of self-harming behaviors. We discover the self-love and courage we need to speak with honesty and do whatever it takes to achieve clarity, joy, happiness, serenity, and freedom in our lives. Now, setting boundaries helps us practice self-love and standing up for what we need. But I always have to remember that many of us have avoided conflict and didn't learn to have healthy and respectful conversations. Setting boundaries helps us learn the skill of speaking the truth with love. We can also learn to be able to respect boundaries of others without taking offense or feeling abandoned or running away. Boundary meeting help with practice and transition to real life situations. Reparenting and reparenting language are especially important tools for tending to our inner children and ourselves when we are triggered. When I understand me in terms of the different parts of me and my younger selves, my parent or critical voice, and an inner loving parent, it's much easier for me to create boundaries, both external and internal. Our inner children can be triggered by a lack of boundaries because they didn't have any clear boundaries in their dysfunctional childhood. I didn't. We can recognize and listen to our power, our recovery supporters, and the voice of our loving inner parent and care for our child. Every work in a way is synonymous for me becoming my own loving parent. This is part of the solution, chapter 8 of the Big Red Book. Oh, big suggestions that I use. I sentences when starting a boundary, because it's about me. When I use you statements, I'm dictating and telling others what to do, which I used to be good at. And now I want to clearly communicate what we will and will not do and to practice self-love rather than judgment in the process. We learn that we can't control or change other people, but we can see how their behavior may trigger other laundry list traits. I feel, decide, tend, and express my needs by setting boundaries for myself, not to demand change in others. I have to guard against people pleasing or rescuing, manipulating. All of these things can harm my boundaries. I have the right to change my mind, but boundaries are not for forcing change in someone else. I have the freedom to change my mind as I develop healthy strategies and learn to renegotiate both internal and external boundaries. And I've just started doing that. I will recognize the body sensations when I tell me I need to set a boundary. I can recognize the feeling and physical sensations I experience in daily life and use these body and mind indicators to help me remember past experience. Where did all this come from? Well, for me, ACA meetings. Ah, and then the principles, courage, powerlessness, surrender, willingness, so much more, including humility, forgiveness, self-love, self-care. You can list more. And then, of course, the big red book, the 12 steps, the yellow book, 12 steps workbook, learning about my rights and freedom to have self-love and to love others. There's just so much. Loving Parent guidebook and reparenting language, workshops and meetings, I've gone to so many. Creating boundaries and working with our decisions to love and nurture and learning to use the reparenting language and reparenting practice, working with it with others. Yep, that's my boundaries, meetings, and the workshops. I'm focusing on principles, practice, and celebrating our progress and reparenting. Boundaries, triggers, practice, principles. Adult children learn to avoid pain in childhood by using denial, sleep, sleep deprivation, being invisible, forgetting, hiding, checking out, overachieving, and I'm sure you know more. The process of setting boundaries helps the adult to face triggers and use the principles and reparenting to tend, to remember, and to progress through safe boundaries with support, self-love, and healing. Lots of self-care needed there. Boundaries take courage, takes willingness, self-love, and other spiritual principles. It's important to know about reparenting. For me, I've learned that there is the reparenting language, and that helps when I'm talking to a fellow traveler, especially in a boundaries meeting. Because a boundary is a feeling or a trigger. Then I have to be with the feeling. I have to tend to the feeling and use my memory. Use reparenting language and tools when I can. And then I make a safe boundary. A boundary is a form of strength training for healing and self-love and self-care as we remember the past and create boundaries for ourselves. And yes, it does get easier, at least for me. A boundary is living with daily and small and large triggers, hearing our inner children, the critic, the loving parent, and deciding on options and finding clarity. The inner parent, the inner loving parent. Well, I think about it and I know I have freedom to feel, to trust, to not know, to be human, to remember, and to say or not if I'm going to change my mind. I don't have to feel chained or imprisoned by the dysfunctional ideas and voices from my past. I have the freedom to create boundaries using self-love and self-care. The inner parent's presence supports the adult child and the inner child or children. And when I didn't have them, just talking to a fellow traveler gave me that support because that was what I had at the time. And I still use it now. The inner loving parent helps the adult child to set boundaries and limits with the inner critical parent and the inner teen. My inner teen needs it. The loving parent nurtures, protects, and guides our inner children, and this helps the adult child with setting boundaries. Inner children and inner child. Took me a long time to get the children part. Had the child for a long time. In family dysfunction, the inner child went into hiding. The inner teen may become angry, resentful, withdrawn, or react because there were no healthy boundaries. Boundaries equal putting faces to my triggers, to my feelings, and to my needs. taking care of me, and making decisions for my safety. This allows protection, nurturing, and healing for me. Creating boundaries and feeling triggers may bring out my laundry list traits, but with the help of my higher power and reparenting, my boundary support group, my fellow travelers, my program tools, and the use of additional help, any I need, I can tend to my inner child and me. The inner child holds the truth of childhood, full remembrance. The adult child can remember, tend, and begin to heal. That's why when I make boundaries, I break the don't remember rule. The connection to our true self and a better understanding of ourselves can be realized as we use boundaries. As we receive the support from our internal loving parent and the love and trust from our boundaries work group or our fellow travelers. As our understanding, reparenting, self-love, and self-care grows, the inner parent, the inner children are also protected, loved, and cared for. The inner children are heard. Yeah, I see you. Okay, just give me a minute. I'm going to listen. And I never did this before. And it's miraculous what can happen. Boundaries, ACA reparenting tools, here's some information that helped me. I had to start with the big red book. Then I went to the yellow book. Then I found Ready, Set, Go. I love strengthening my recovery. Chapter 8 and chapter 15, those are biggies. The loving parent and inner child work groups, the PowerPoint meetings. I've been to all of them, I think, at least once. Identifying feelings. There's pages in the Red Book on feelings. I had to learn what they were. Identifying needs. Had to learn how to do that. Affirmations and slogans and sayings helped me get there. Meditation, mindfulness, integrating the laundry list brings me serenity and joy. Exploring, practicing, growing, and watching my progress when practicing boundaries. I need my boundaries meeting. I love my boundaries check-in groups, and the workshops have been vital for me. So we're going to have a boundaries check-in rationale with Wendy. So I'm going to skip the first column, and I'm going to go to the second. The adult child can gain self-trust and transfer this feeling to real life situations using boundaries. I can attest to that. Triggers can be followed by action. I don't have to react. My adult child can tend to my triggers with everyday problems when I practice healthy boundaries. I sentences are a must because it's about me. You sentences are about my controlling old self. Adult children can practice healthy boundaries with self-love, self-care, in boundaries meetings without fear of being ridiculed or thinking, oh no, I'm wrong. My adult child tells me so, my critic is there. So that's why meetings and work groups and workshops are important to me. In the check-in, I have the freedom to set boundaries. I can feel, I can tend, and if I'm doing it wrong, I can practice more. But I can decide and express my needs for setting boundaries for myself. I don't demand change in others, which is a new one for me. I have the right to change my mind. That's pretty new. But boundaries aren't for forcing change in someone else. I have to keep remembering that, saying, Helen, this is for me. I'm going to guard against people-pleasing or rescuing, which can harm my boundaries. Oh, the hard part. I have to really be there, feet on the ground, recognize my body sensations that tell me I need to set a boundary. I can recognize feelings and physical sensations I experience in daily life and use these in body and mind indicators to help me remember past experiences. I have the right. And more important, I have the freedom to change my mind as I develop healthy strategies and learn to negotiate my internal and external boundaries. This means I get better and better at it. I have the right to say no to the critical parent or say, okay, I heard enough critical voice. You can go over there now. But thanks. As I practice self-care and self-love, it does become easier for me to set boundaries. So this is an example of a boundary check-in practice that we use in the meetings. And that's why it was so important. And it's on your worksheets. We're limited on time. So I'm not going to do this now, but my email's available and we do have boundary meetings and Wendy's going to take over soon. So in the boundary check-in, you're going to be going over this. What happened? What triggered me? You're going to ground your attention in breathing. You're going to say, how did I react? And you're going to ask yourself some questions and breathe. You're going to say, does it remind me of an event in the past? If I can handle it, I'm going to go with it. If not, I'm going to get help. And then 4, what feelings and physical sensations did I experience? If I need to look in the red book or ask someone else what feelings are about, I'm going to do it because I'm going to learn to feel the awareness in my body. Then I have to ask about my inner child or inner children. See how they felt. How can my loving parent help me tend them and me? But I got to feel the awareness again. And then it's my boundary or action. My safe option. Can I use my voice or is it safer to walk away? Can I make I statements? Oops, there, sorry. So we're not finished yet, but before we go on, I want to thank everyone, every adult child, those of you that are here, those of you that helped, those of you who work I had permission to use, because this isn't me, this is adult children. I am only the presenter. Without the group here, and so many other adult children I probably forgot, I wouldn't be here telling you what I have learned, and I wouldn't be able to spread the message. Here's some more, and I'm going on to Wendy.
Thank you so much, Helen. You do invite so many people to give you feedback on this work. I am part of a boundaries group. Helen came to our group, she presented this, and I know people are wondering when they can perhaps have access to this presentation. We are working on that. We want to be sure that we're able to provide a copy of this that can be used in your own meetings. It's just, we need a few more weeks to get it ready, and I'm sure some of you understand about that. So, actually, 3 of the people who helped Helen create this PowerPoint presentation are in the room. I'm going to introduce Christina and invite her to come off mute after I introduce her for a couple of minutes, and then Marius and then Lewis. Christina joined ACA 4.5 years ago in autumn of 2016 after 4 years in Al-Anon. In 2019, together with 3 other fellow travelers, she started a new ACA group called ACA Renaissance Bucharest, where she now holds the treasurer position. She is in service also as a fellow traveler and a sponsor. After attending the Boundaries Beta work group that Helen W. started, she started a small step study group using the same blueprint and recently guided other ACA fellow travelers in starting a second small step study group, which is separate from Boundaries Work Group. But this Boundaries literature can actually support other meetings that have a main focus. And now I invite Christina to come off mute and share her experience, strength, and hope with us.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Hi, everyone. I'm Christina. I'm an adult child and a codependent, and I am so grateful to be here. Before joining this Beta Boundaries group, I was kind of a sociopath. I was afraid to show who I really was and what I was truly thinking. I was a people pleaser, enmeshed with others, afraid of abandonment, and terrified of true intimacy. I was attending my ACA and Al-Anon meetings, working my steps, reading the literature, connecting with my sponsor and sponsee. But I did not know what true friendship and intimacy was like with other fellow travelers or other women. I was a grown-up woman without knowing what true sisterhood was like. I was alone, clinging on to shallow relationships, even in my ACA home group, hiding behind the crosstalk rule. Learning and practicing in my Beta Boundaries group what a healthy boundary is helped me to open up, to be authentic, to let others see who I truly was. Now I can experience what it's like to feel safe and connected with other fellow travelers and other women, what true and real friendship is without enmeshment, because now I can say no and hold a no in a healthy way. In my Beta Boundaries group, I can give feedback or mirror my memories and experiences. And just like that, true connection and intimacy arises. Learning about boundaries and practicing how to have them, for me, it's an act of self-love. And I took the same blueprint in my step study group in Romania 5 months ago. They were so excited to experience this new way of being. So now I have two groups when I feel accepted, connected, and free to let my loving parent practice the ACA language. My loving parent can take action with gentleness, respect, love, and humor. And only with that kind of language, I can hold a boundary in a loving and assertive manner. I'm so grateful to my higher power for this program and to Helen for how gently and lovingly guided our Beta group on this journey to recovery. Our group, it's my safe place to practice healthy boundaries. And when the time is right, to extend that in my personal and professional life. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Christina. Marius, you'll be speaking after I introduce you. Marius joined the ACA mission in Romania in May 2017, 4 years ago, which had just freshly started 6 months before. By the end of 2019, he decided that ACA needed fresh breeze, and together with four other ACA members, he laid the foundations for the ACA Renaissance Bucharest and was elected chair in January 2020. Since then, his main goal has been to reach out to the adult children who still suffer. He started the ACA Renaissance Bucharest International Monthly Speakers Meeting in July 2020, which laid the groundwork for the first Romanian intergroup. And they sent a delegate to this year's ABC for the first time since 2016. With other fellow travelers, he has started the ACA Romanian Translation Committee and worked on translating the Big Red Book into Romanian. Marius is a founding member of the First Boundaries Beta Work Group that Helen and Christina have been talking about, and he is supporting the flow of these resources to three small step study groups in Romania. Marius, can you now speak with us?
Hi, everyone. I'm Marius. I'm an adult child. I want to share with you today my most recent insights from my experience of almost dying. I end up in this situation just because I wasn't able to settle boundaries. Boundaries with myself, first of all. I hadn't any boundaries, neither internally nor externally. Now I know that what's inside, that's also outside. So because of no boundaries or lack of boundaries, I slowly skidded to workaholism and exhaustion, which crushed my immune system and opened up the door to COVID infection. Now I know that everything is related. Now I can see it clearly. Back then, I was blindfolded by myself because of my ego-driven life purpose. Life it never was and never will be a straight line of happy events. Life purpose is to experiment in this life the whole range of feelings and experiences. The real life is about being, not about doing, because I'm a human being, not a human doing. As a human being, I need to be in contact with myself and with my inner family, because recovery means to reunite with something lost. I was lost in the ruins of my ego-driven life, and now I have to retrieve my true self in order to be one again. And that is possible only if I establish boundaries for my ego or critical parent and put him in his place, and put in center of my life my inner loving parent, and let him run the show of my life, a life driven with gentleness, by trust, respect, and love. No boundaries means that critical parent is running the show of my life from the position of an imposter ruler, which doesn't care of his people. He rules as he pleases, as any dictator. From my experience, strength, and hope, I can say in short, no internal boundaries, a guarantee of a life of torment. Internal boundaries means having a life where life is happening to me in a fulfilling way. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Marius. And our final presenter is Louis B., who has been involved with ACA since April 2015. In 2018, he started volunteering with the ACA World Service Organization, the Literature Committee. He has been a lead writer of the reparenting chapters on the Getting Started Project. That's a new book coming out after the Loving Parent book. There's the Getting Started book. It's amazing. He facilitates a working group to examine spiritual inclusion in ACA literature. He serves on the Literature Evaluation and Literature Strategic Planning subcommittees and was a team lead for the Loving Parent Guidebook evaluation process. Since 2019, Louis has served as a lead writer on another book, A New Hope ACA Beginners Meeting Handbook, a text for beginners in the ACA program, which can be accessed for free at, this is a website, maybe someone can put this in the chat, ACA, capital letters, acahope.com. Thank you, Louis. Can you please speak with us?
I can. I don't really have a lot prepared. I just thought I'd wing it on this one.
Well, you only have 2 minutes. Do you want me to?
It's only 2 minutes, so I think I can do it. I think I didn't want my introduction to be longer than my talking, but so first of all, thanks, Wendy, for facilitating. And Helen, thank you for your presentation. You showed me what it is you were coming up with, and you asked for some of my perspective, and I appreciate that. And what I really appreciate you doing is really integrating the ACA solution of becoming your own loving parent into the boundaries language. And so different languages resonate with different people, right? That's just how things work. You know, what makes sense to someone and creates that sort of light switch going on, that's perfect. That's exactly what I understand. You know, what makes sense to me isn't necessarily going to make sense to the next person. So boundaries is something, there's so many books and workbooks, and I mean, you can go to Amazon, you can find a million different things. What I think makes this presentation really unique is it takes our language, the ACA language, and starts to conceptualize what does it look to bring the reparenting framework to the idea of boundaries. And I just love, Helen, what you've been doing with this. For me, you know, I always had a sense of what boundaries were conceptually. Right, I sort of knew the idea of boundaries, but to me, what has changed my life has had, it's been a felt experience of what boundaries are, when I need to set one and when I do set one, and the difference of what that feels like. So what I can say is that it didn't make sense for me to start setting boundaries until I felt there was something inside of me that was worth protecting, right? Like, if there's nothing inside of me that's worth protecting, why would I ever set a boundary? To keep myself safe, to protect my own self. And so the ACA language and me finding an inner child inside of me, what's come to be my inner children, and recognizing that tenderness and wanting to fall in love with those parts of myself, and recognizing I need to take steps in life with the outside world to keep those parts of me safe. And they're going to come out and speak to me and be a part of my life when I can protect them. And so for me, reparenting has been a process of understanding boundaries, and it's been a language of boundary setting. When I first came into the program, I developed a mantra. I don't know exactly where it came from. It just one of those things, but I just knew I needed to feel my feelings, understand my wants and needs, speak my truth, and set boundaries. And I knew I needed to do that. Reparenting was what allowed me to learn how to do that. And so I've come to understand boundaries in a way, in the context, for example, of codependency. So I've come to understand not having healthy boundaries as me really looking for someone else in the world to take care of my wounded self, to take care of my inner wounded kids, and me running out without any boundaries in the world, trying to figure out how can I find someone to rescue me? How can I find someone to take care of those parts of me that I'm unwilling to take care of myself? And then having a relationship with someone who is looking for the same thing. You know, they're not interested in taking care of themselves either. They're just not interested in doing that reparenting work. So, you know, they're looking for someone else to do that. So what do? I step in. I'm needed, right? I'm never going to feel that abandonment if someone needs me in that way. And that's codependency, me taking care of someone else's wounded parts and someone else taking care of my wounded parts. And so becoming my own loving parent, being willing to take care of my wounded self myself, has been a source of freedom. And it's been an understanding for me of boundaries. And I think I'm right at the end of my time, but I want to talk about internal boundaries too, or limits, because the first step in me awakening and strengthening my loving parent, my inner loving parent, was learning to set boundaries with that critical part of myself, that critic parent, and learning to say, no, it's enough. And at first it was a battle, you know, it was, and there was a lot of inner swearing and type of stuff going on. It was contentious. And thankfully over the years, it's settled down a bit and I've developed a new relationship with that part of myself. So being able to set boundaries with that internal critic or the teen parts of me that just want to sort of go off and do all the, you know, stuff or the things that might come out of my mouth that might hurt someone, or, you know, the wounded little kids who maybe want the whole box of chocolates. Right. And we're just not going to have the whole box of chocolates. I have to set an internal limit or an internal boundary. So if we have maybe one piece of chocolate, and that can work. That's my inner loving parent. So again, Helen, thank you for all your work. I really appreciate such an important topic of boundaries and figuring out ways that we can work that and weave that into the language of our program. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lewis. Well, this is the point in the workshop that we get to try the work. The work of being with ourselves. It is a guided meditation. I'm going to be reading it, and it takes about 5 minutes. If this is something you're choosing not to do right now, that is fine. So you can take a 5-minute break at this point. But if you're still here, you will have the opportunity to review boundaries inside yourself, perhaps review a trigger that. Maybe there's a pattern or a situation happening in your life right now, and explore what arises over these next 5 minutes. This is one way of practicing boundaries. Some may wish to have writing materials. You may find something comes up that you want to write down. Or you can use this time for other self-care. So move into a position that is comfortable and feels safe. Become aware of yourself in your space. Become aware of your breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Are there physical sensations or feelings arising? What happened? What triggered me? Was it a person, place, or thing, or an inner voice? How did I react or respond? Does this remind me of an event or a feeling from my past? Do I hear or feel my inner child, inner teenager, inner infant, or an inner critical voice? Can my loving parent or my higher power or spiritual essential self help tend this part of me? Can I feel my boundaries coming from self-love and self-care? Can I use my voice to speak up or speak within me? Can I use I statements? Become aware of yourself in your space. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Begin to move slowly as you become aware of your body and transition back to our meeting in a way that is safe for you. At this point, Margot, who has been participating in a boundaries meeting that started very recently, I've asked her to share, which is something that can happen at a boundaries meeting after a guided meditation. Margo?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Margo.
Okay, good. So I've been in ACA since last August 2020. And the boundary meeting, we've had three meetings, and that boundary, the word boundary, it's like, what have I been missing my whole life? I met my inner child, but now the idea of boundaries, and I see how codependent I am and how just knowing the word boundary helps me navigate my daily life. And what happened today is in this meditation, I realized how in the past week I've taken various risks, stepped out of my normal way of behaving, and then something didn't go as I had expected. And I realized today that my critical parent just came out swinging her axe. And in the meditation, I realized that I can set up a boundary that she can't do that, even though I know she's got all the it feels like she has all the power. It feels like she has everything, but she does, unless I learn to set a little boundary that say, you know, please, I don't need you to do that now. And I was able to breathe a little easier. So for me, just the word boundary, just reminding me that I can have a boundary, and I can have a boundary when she's bullying, that she can just step aside, or I can put up even a piece of plexiglass, because I don't know if I can get her to step aside yet, but I can put up the plexiglass. So I'll just see her mouth, nah, 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 nah. But there'll be that plexiglass there. So that was my share. Thanks.
Thank you, Margo. Well, I would love to hear everyone's share, but we are not in a meeting of 6 to 10 people, which for me feels like a nice size. However, with the wizardry of Zoom, I am now calling upon Brad L. to listen carefully to my directions and correct me if I get something wrong. You will have soon the opportunity to choose a breakout room. Once you arrive in that breakout room, and the breakout rooms will have names, and the names will be 33 languages. But if you keep scrolling past the 33 languages and you don't choose one, you will see the months of the year in English, and you can choose the month of your birthday, which helps us to spread out into 12 sharing rooms. Once you're in the room, someone will need to, now this is the important question. We are not able to unmute currently. Is Brad L., our current tech host, able to give everyone the power to unmute in breakout rooms? That is my question for Brad. Once everyone's had a turn, certainly come right back. In terms of coming right back to this room, you choose the leave button, which on my laptop is red. When I choose leave and I'm in a breakout room, I have two choices. One is leave the meeting, and don't choose that one. Choose leave the breakout room. That brings you back to this main room. Helen W. and I, and many of the presenters, we will still be here and we will be able to entertain questions. But certainly I do invite you to go briefly into a breakout room and then come right back. If no one's in your breakout room, just come right back and you can choose a different one. So Brad L., can you come off mute and let us know what the next step is?
Yeah, I didn't quite follow the, I messed up and I have breakout rooms being assigned automatically to dividing people up, but I've allowed them to change breakout rooms if they want to. Hopefully that's not going to mess things up. So when they go, there will be other people in the breakout room.
Okay, so if I'm understanding, what is going to happen, and this is fun, you are going to be in a breakout room. And at that point, is it possible for them to leave and come back here and choose?
Yes.
They can choose.
Yes. Okay.
So it's a big experiment with 300 people. When we are assigned to our breakout rooms, you are going to be in a random breakout room. But if you leave it, if you like it, stay. But if you want to try, I would appreciate if you do come back. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to leave right away, come back into the main room so that I get to see those breakout room choices and all those labels. So here we go. You're going to be in a breakout room, but not exactly as planned. Let's try it.
Well, it kind of looks like we've stabilized. We have 71 people in this room.
Okay, it sounds good to me. It doesn't look like Wendy's back yet, but Brad's here. I'm here. I can't see who all else is here. If you want to share or ask questions. Louis B. is here.
Yeah, and it looks like...
Louis B. is here.
Yep, hello. It looks like if you want to go into a breakout room, you can, for me, I click the more and there's a breakout rooms, and then it lists what the different breakout rooms are, and I can go ahead into that. But yeah, I think my understanding is that here we'll just do a Q&A, and I thought Wendy was going to lead that, but I don't see that she's here. But maybe we could just start like using the raise hand features if someone has a question, and maybe just direct it to whoever it is you'd like to direct it to. And Brad, I don't know, maybe you can do the calling on people. Does that work for you?
Sure. And if people want to go into breakout rooms, that the one thing is there's a button at the, it's four blocks at the bottom of your screen. It'll bring out the breakout rooms, and then you'll have a join if you choose a room, if you hover over it. and I can call on people.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to use the raise hands feature, if there's something, maybe Helen's, she's here, if something in her presentation, boundary questions. I know a lot of people are asking about how to get connected into some of the boundaries meetings and stuff. So, yeah. So, Brad, you want to start calling on folks?
Sure. Do people want to raise their hands?
Yes, Michelle has.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead. I was at the bottom. Okay. Good. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi. Could Lewis B talk about the boundary? He was talking about how we want someone else to take care of ourselves. Just the statement he said, it just resonated so deeply with me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I heard you, Michelle. Thanks for the question. So, you know, the ACA solution is to become my own loving parent. And I think the reason that makes sense to me is because my whole life, I was really looking for someone else to parent me. And when I think of that in terms of ACA language or inner child language, that I had this, my whole life coming out of childhood, I had a wounded part of myself and I didn't know what to do with that part of myself. And it was it was the discomfort that I carried with me. If I sat still long enough, then I would experience discomfort, both in thoughts, ruminations, really my inner critic, what I understand today, my inner critic yelling at me, the shaming sort of messages, and just the sense of woundedness inside of me. And I just never knew what to do with it. And it was just so uncomfortable to even have that as a part of my life. So I pushed it away. And the laundry list traits, chemical substances, all of these things I used to try and distance myself from that, from what I understand today as my inner children. So I was always trapped in this position where, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was looking for other people to tend to my woundedness. And with that, I had no idea of boundaries. And so the boundaries that I've come to understand today is it's my job to be the parent to this woundedness. It's my job to keep them safe. It's my job to nurture these parts of myself and to take care of them. And it's not anyone else's job to take the lead on that in my life. And in the same way that I was looking for other people to do that, I was always, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was searching out other people that were looking for me to do that in their life. Right. And so that's me. That's the people pleaser, the fixer, the over responsible person, the rescuer. And really it's me going to take care of someone else's wounded child. And I had no idea that I needed to have boundaries to not do that. Right. I mean, I was affirmed, like I would get the pats on the back and stuff until inevitably I didn't take care of their kids right. They didn't take care of my kids right. And it would fall apart. And that was the history of my interactions with people. So, Michelle, I hope that touches on what it is that you were hoping me to speak to.
Yeah, it was, you kind of touched on it there, but I really want to know about, you know, if I'm taking care of my spouse, he's taking care of me, and how to get out of those routines and how to, you know, break those habits. And then the kid, his angry kid's getting mad because I don't want to take care of him anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm getting frustrated. So I don't know if you can touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, I've heard when we stop people pleasing, people aren't pleased. Right. And so, yeah, a lot of the people in my life, when I stopped taking care of their, that was the deal that I had, right? It was an unspoken deal, an unconscious deal. But when I stopped doing that, when I turned away from taking care of other people's wounded parts, teenagers, inner kids, and turned towards doing that for myself, people weren't happy with that in my life. That was not the deal that we had. And so it's been tough. And I wish I could say there was some quick and easy answer. And well, your three easy points on how to become your own loving parent. It just hasn't been that way for me. So for me, it's been working in ACA, going to meetings, doing step work. And now with the Loving Parent Guidebook coming out, it's going to be a huge, beautiful resource for people to learn a bit more on the specifics of this. So thanks for the question, Michelle.
Thank you so much. I did have an exciting moment in a breakout room, and I forgot I should come back and ask Amanda if you would like to ask your question. I saw your hand.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. Amanda, adult child. Thank you all for your service. I've been thinking a lot about my time boundaries, service boundaries, and not doing for others what they can do for themselves. And it's this really challenging place for me because, especially in my recovery community, like helping, connecting with people with meetings, it's like that's in service. Like I can kind of manipulate my thought thinking that's a step 12 service. but I've found a little bit of resentment for myself that I want to work through when it's like I'm one of the few people who are always doing the tech host service in meetings, or we are sharing Zoom meeting information and then people repeatedly ask over and over about it. And I'm trying to figure out like how to come at this with a really loving way while also protecting my own. I heard on the previous boundary, you know, like energy and time boundaries versus enabling boundaries. So I don't know what direction this answer would be, but I'm just wanting to share something that's on my mind that I think is related to boundaries. And I'd love to hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Who on our panel would like to jump in? Helen.
For me, when I start resenting something I'm doing for service, like I was a secretary for a group for a long while, I had to have a talk with me. I had to ask my loving parent. And I decided service is supposed to bring me joy as well as bring it to others. So I just told my group, I've been doing this for such and such long, and in 2 weeks, someone else can take over or we can be without this position. But I do want to thank you, and I am hoping someone else will come. It worked. I can't say it always worked, but that was the boundary for me because I am doing this to improve my life, to improve my self-care so that I can get others love, more love, not for resentment. Thank you.
Move on to Justin, PNW, another question, but when we answer, we can certainly address all sorts of questions that have been asked today. Justin, are you?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Hey, thanks everybody for organizing this event, everybody who's giving their service. I just want to say if I seem critical at some point, I'd like to take responsibility for that. And that's not my intention. The question that I have for anybody who would like to answer it is I'm familiar with another sort of reparenting / boundary protocol that's emerged from ACA, but is not actually conference approved. And in that, there's some sort of confusion for me between reparenting and creating healthy boundaries and being in a relationship such that the recommendation has been to, if there's a conflict, then I need to remove myself from the situation, reparent my children, not be transparent about any of that process with my partner, and only show up for my partner as an adult. And that seems... That seems like wisdom, but it also feels like I'm keeping secrets and I'm hiding on some level, and I'm not quite sure how to reconcile my needs in the relationship from my self-care. So I wonder if anybody can address that sort of nebulous cloud of...
I would like to respond with the meeting format, which is the handout that you get when you download from our schedule. When you read that handout, the most important part of that meeting format for me is the check-in and the closing check-in, or otherwise known as the checking out. What for me is so important about those moments in a meeting that might be discussing boundaries is that fluidity of crosstalk, where we can take responsibility, but we are in fact sharing something that may have triggered us in that meeting itself. I know that this is controversial. I know that crosstalk and no crosstalk is important. But if I can't say what's really going on in here in an ACA meeting, because I have to go somewhere else, because I can't talk about it here, because I have to go and call my sponsor. There's crosstalk. I don't want to be heard from a place of judgment. I don't want to be heard as coming from a place of judgment. It's a place of love. These are my recovery fellow travelers. And when things get messy for me, I want to use all of my tools, including my recovery tool of boundaries, and express my boundary. And sometimes it's in the meeting itself. Can I do that respectfully and from a place of self-love, love and self-care? I have to practice. That's why I need the meeting to be small. Helen, I saw your hand.
I just wanted to say, just real quick, between my husband and me, he isn't in ACA, but he practices ACA because he lives with me. We have learned not to use judgment with each other, but to use discernment and love. We have a big dysfunctional family crisis this morning. We were able to talk about it openly. And when it got too much, I just went like this and said, okay, we have to stop there. He said, okay, we'll talk more after the meeting. But we communicate more than we have in the 30 years we've been married. And it's that love, respect, and boundaries, not just my boundaries, but my respect for his boundaries, that allow us to grow in love. Thank you.
Let's open up for Melissa's question because there's so little time.
Hi, thank you, everyone, for being here, and thank you for the wisdom and the insight. I wanted to go back to caretaking a partner's inner child. I don't know when to how to recognize that. I don't know when my husband's inner child is showing up. I don't know what caretaking looks like versus just being a responsive, emotionally responsive adult. Can somebody help with that clarification, please?
Can I invite Christina?
Yes, sure. I would like, but I truly apologize. My husband is now speaking in another room, so I hope you will hear only me. Okay, so in my experience, my husband also is in ACA. So as soon as I discovered my loving parent, I learned how to recognize my inner child and my triggers. And as I've done that for myself, now I am actually able to recognize the inner child in my husband or in someone else. Just because I know what it feels like for me, I can recognize that, but I don't know for sure. So when I see that, I'm asking him, is this your inner child acting now? This is what you're doing. Have you got triggered in some way? Because as I'm recognizing, it's not my inner child that it is recognizing the other child. Sometimes it happens, but it's messy. So I'm talking with my husband or with another fellow traveler from my loving parents' perspective.
Thank you so much. Let's jump to Ursula. And I just want to note that, Lewis, your answer to a previous question, there's interest for that if you can combine it when you last raised your hand. Ursula?
Hi, I'm Ursula, adult child. I was wondering when a fear of the other person's anger holds me back from setting the boundaries, what can be done about that? My fear gets in the way when I want to set a boundary. I'm afraid they'll get mad.
Who's jumping in, Helen or Lewis?
I can only speak from an abused wife's thing. When I had fear, I knew I better be quiet for my safety. My boundary was for me to be safe. But Lewis, talk to it from another area, please.
Well, again, I've come to understand working with my feelings and my needs as working with my inner children. It's putting faces on feelings and needs, and it makes it a little bit more tangible. and less abstract. So for myself, I do a lot of work with my own early photos. And if people don't have their own early photos, you can go onto the internet and look at photos of kids and something resonates and you can work with it. For me, it's not having something visual helps. But if I can look at whatever feeling comes up, and fear is an intense one. I mean, I think it's, for me, it's been the center of the difficult feelings that I work with because I lived in terror as a child. I did, and I carried that with me my whole life. So, you know, it's not something I can just flip off with a switch. And that's clear to me, but I have come to understand my working with the fear as working with a younger part of myself who is really scared and making sure that I do whatever I can not to bring the critic when that fear arises, my own internal critic, you know, you're so dumb, shut up. I mean, the stuff that, you know, put your big boy pants on, what do you, he'll give you something to cry about. I mean, whatever it is that we were brought up with that made me put that fear away and push it away, to slowly and gently find ways to allow that to arise and to work with it slowly and incrementally. And that's been one of the hardest parts in my recovery process. So, I mean, if we're just going to go into what's the hardest thing you can do in ACA, work with fear. I mean, it's just, it's right sort of the top of my list. But for me, again, if I can put a younger version of my face, then I can evoke a level of compassion with it. And through that, I find more gentleness and patience.
Thanks. Thank you. We're going to ask Natalia to ask her question, and then Erica right away, two questions. And those will be our last questions. We'll have a brief response to them. Natalia?
Hi, this is Natalia, ACA. I have a question because, so in my relationship with my husband, like I know I can't make boundaries, but what I have even a harder issue is respecting others' people's boundaries, like my husband's. When he says, we need to stop talking, it's like, I just keep on and keep on. And it's, and he says, I don't want to talk about this. And I keep on talking about it. And I keep, you know, and so for me, I see it more as like the other side. I have trouble respecting other people's boundaries when I'm triggered. So any suggestions there?
Thank you, Natalia. You'll have your response right after Erica.
Actually, it's a piggyback almost. I want to know if you could speak to when you can set the boundary, but other people won't own that they're in their inner child or they're in their reactivity, and you have to start bringing in consequences. Sort of what are some of the finer lines about that? My husband's great, but I have a lot of dysfunctional family and a lot of friends who are like in, out, in, out, in, out. And it's like, I set the boundary. I model the healthy behavior. And then another. So if you could speak to that, I'd appreciate it.
We have only 30 seconds or so to hear perhaps from Lewis or Helen or Christina.
For me, it's all on me. For one, I realized when my husband wanted to go in another room when I was yelling or talking or getting my word in, I was being controlling. I was being manipulating. I had to learn to set boundaries for me, not him. And on the second one, I already forgot because I'm so nervous and anxious about being here today. Sorry.
Final words from Lewis or Christina?
Okay. Yeah, that's a tough one too. So when other people's boundary issues trigger me, what do I do about it? Right? So my propensity is, well, what can I do to make them do it differently so I don't get triggered? Right? That's the default. I think Barb in the previous session, you know, how can I lay leather over all the sand that I walk on so I don't burn my feet, as opposed to can I put something on my own shoes, you know? So to me, it comes back, what part of me is being triggered by whatever that person is doing, right? What part in me is being triggered by that person's lack of boundaries, and what can I do to tend to that part of me, right? So, and then trying to recognize too, what part of me is trying to work with myself. So if I'm in my inner critic part, it may be that I need some help and I may need to call a fellow traveler. And that's why we don't do this work alone. So if I'm so triggered and the other person has stuff going on and I just can't access my inner loving parent, You know, some of it is going to something bigger than myself, right? Powers greater than myself. Some of it is maybe accessing literature to try to recenter myself. Some of it's reaching out to fellow travelers who struggle with the same things and are working with the same things. That's what I would say.
Thank you. I've heard from Brad L. that we've all returned from the breakout rooms. Please look in the chat. Ellen is putting in a link where you can tell us in writing if you liked those breakout rooms and whether you want to see us do that again. Christina, do you have a final farewell from us as we move to the next section?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So for the first question, I use the Serenity Prayer. And keep that in mind and repeat all over again until I decide to break out that on that event. And for the second question, every time I put a boundary, it's about me. It's about what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do, what I'm going to allow and what I'm not going to allow. It's not about the other one. The boundary is for me. If you don't shut up, I will walk away, and I walk away. It's not for the other one to shut up. I don't care if he shuts up or not. What I care is my safety. So I will not stay here and take it. The boundary is for me. I stated, this is what I'm going to do if you don't stop this behavior. And if he doesn't, I walk away. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Christine B., I pass our session to you now.
Thank you so much, Wendy. And I just want to say to everybody, obviously I've been on this session with you, please don't leave, because I want to offer you the opportunity to continue your healing, both on the boundaries and also in many, many other projects that we have going at WSO. So I could see in the chat that many of you wanted to see where's the literature? How do I get a hold of this? I want to see more about this. I want to volunteer to be on the Boundaries Committee. And that's what I'm here actually to talk about for a few minutes with you this afternoon, is these projects happen because you volunteer. There's no them and us. It's only us and us. That's how this works. And so if you're excited about, I sound like I'm fundraising for PBS. If you're excited about boundaries, if you want to see boundaries come into your meeting place, if you want to start a meeting on boundaries, if you really want this healing in your life, we welcome you to join with us. What I want to emphasize is this work that you see right here came out of a ballot proposal at the annual business conference a year ago. That ballot proposal led to Helen being appointed as the chair of a subcommittee through literature to work on boundaries, to work on creating documentation, to work on creating scripts for meetings, to work together with other volunteers. There's no paid staff here, folks. It's all us, and people stepped up to join with her to create this wonderful opportunity that we've all had to learn from each other. I'm a volunteer. I will tell you that in the year 2018, I think that's when it was, or 19, I get confused. I was in Malmo, Sweden. And I walked up to our chairman of the board, who's actually on this call right now, Charlie. And I said to him, you know, Charlie, I'm a writer and I really want to get involved with the comm line. I think our newsletter could be a lot more than it's been so far. And he said, great idea. And it's number 400 on my to-do list, but I'm going to get back to you. And it took a while. It took a while for him to get back to me, but he did. He did. And what I want you to know is Brad, who is on this call right now, and I, as the chair of a revised Comline committee, are going to be bringing you what I think is one of the most exciting vehicles we could possibly talk about, which is it's going to turn into a blog. What does that mean? It means we can have a category in our new revised blog called, wait for it, Boundaries. And you can talk back and forth with each other about how you work your boundaries, because that's what a blog is. We'll have short articles, but then we're going to have the opportunity for you to do what you just did in the breakout rooms. exactly what just happened in those breakout rooms can happen every day when you go on to our new revised, whatever we're going to call it. Right now it's called ACA blog. So if you're free at 10 o'clock, or even if you just want to go and take a look at that later on, you know, listen to the audio later on, what I want you to know is we are a worldwide community, and we want to engage with a worldwide conversation. It's not once a year. It's not just here at this convention. We want it to continue day after day, week after week. We are here to serve, but honestly, we're also here to grow. I wouldn't do service if it wasn't helping me practice my own program. And I will tell you, it hasn't been all smooth sailing. I'm going to turn it over to Charlie in a moment. He'll probably tell you about the couple of times he's wanted me to throw me off things. All my laundry list traits get triggered when I do service, every single one of them. I'm a people pleaser. I take on too much. I do all the things we all do, right? As adult children, we act out our laundry list, but I'm in a safe place. I'm in a place where other people can, first of all, recognize what I'm doing, and second off, go, Christine, you know, maybe that wasn't your best play, that last one. And I can take a breath, and I can pause when agitated, and I can see where my inner child is acting up, or where she feels that she's been criticized unfairly, or whatever it might be. So the other thing I want to just really, really emphasize is service coming from love is a place to practice your program. Literature, which is where I happen to be doing my service, we have four huge projects coming up where we want readers. Yes, the project that Lewis just referred to, A New Hope, it will eventually come to literature evaluation and we'll want readers. Charlie's working on the Getting Started book. He talked about it last year at the convention. We're going to want readers to look at that and evaluate it. We've got a new document coming out on support, which is our bigger umbrella term for sponsorship. We're going to want readers. We're going to want your input. We're going to want your suggestions. We need all of you with us as we do this work. And those are, you know, Ready, Set, Go is also going to come through literature evaluation. So again, let me just quickly, before I turn over to Charlie, I want to show you how you can get involved. Oops, wait a minute. To do that, hello, Christine. To do that, I have to share my screen, don't I? Okay. There it is. It's as simple as that. acawso.org/service. You can click boundaries. You can click literature. You can click working on the ACA committees. Liz C., who's on this call, she is new to working at the ABC, AWC level. And she's done a fabulous job. Brad, as I mentioned to you, Brad got excited about doing this blog, and we've only been working on it for 6 months. So a lot can happen in a short period of time. But that's the website. You can go on. There's a large forum there. I don't need to say much more about why, you know, why volunteer. Do we need you? Of course we need you. Of course we do. But don't come just because we need you. Come because you need us. Because honestly, that's, in my view, that's the most important thing. I want to turn it over to Charlie because I've talked too long. And Charlie, what would you like to tell our group here about service?
Everything, thank you so much, Christine. My name is Charlie. I am on the WSO board. In fact, I am the chair now, but actually I've been in recovery since 1986, very steadily. Up until 2015, I never thought about WSO. I virtually did not know what it was. All I can say is, I don't think there's ever been a more exciting time to be involved in ACA recovery, because over the last few years, we've gone from sort of being a US fellowship in our minds to really connecting with the rest of the world. It's growing. The whole experience we're taking part in today would have been beyond our dreams 4 years ago when I joined the board. And as Christine says, it all happens because people get excited, they come in, they help. The question just came up, can we get rid of the screen share? Yes, we can. An example, by the way, of how the fellowship informs our thinking and our actions, and sometimes in a very quick way. And really, pretty much all of us come in some way because there's something we think we could do this better. That's why you get involved. And then once you get involved, I can basically tell you two things that every volunteer thinks. One is, whatever possessed me, why did I agree to do this? This is the worst thing I've ever done. And the second thing is, I'm really glad I hung in. This is the best thing I've ever done. It's just, I think, really knowing we're doing something to make somebody else's recovery and our own recovery better, and meeting now people literally from around the world, it's an amazing experience. And I would ask if there's a hand function for anybody who's been a regular volunteer, could you either physically raise your hand or electronically raise your hand? Do you agree that this is really kind of an extraordinary experience? I'm seeing hands go up. And I know from some of them, they've shared ulcers with me. So it's really, this is a beautiful thing. And I need to say, I've met volunteers from so many spaces, some new. Helen, I did not know until a year ago, and yet wonderful work has happened here. So I would like to just invite you to go to that button again, the address that Brad put on. It actually does not commit you to anything, but it's an opportunity to learn more. You can go and you can click on boxes from any committee you might be interested in and take it from there. The one other person I really would like to introduce, because he is new to doing IT, everything we are doing, including that wonderful breakout experience a few minutes ago, has really been facilitated by Brad, who is our new IT chair. He urgently needs help. And with that, Brad, if you could talk a little bit about your needs on the IT committee. But thank you so much again for being on the program. And thank you for giving us a few minutes to talk about this today.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm Brad. I'm the new IT chair for WSO. And in IT, we're allowed to make mistakes. I don't know if anybody just saw, but I messed up the breakout rooms. I made them automatically assigned instead of being able to everybody to choose their own. And it didn't break. Nothing happened. ACA is a nice place to volunteer because not only do we get to do service, but we can discuss it with our sponsor, so forth, and our fellow travelers. What I could use is some tech-minded people. You don't have to be hardcore nerd. You don't have to be a programmer. I'm looking for people that could maybe do some web forms that can be trained to do some web forms. People that could be trained to do update the website. People that can help with content on the website. These type of things. You can maybe do a sign-up genius where the people, so forth. We can train you. If you're a tech proficient person, if you feel like you're very tech proficient, but you're not tech nerd, we probably want you. So I'm going to say something here. You know, I don't know how many of you people know Mary Jo, who's been in the program. Mary Jo is a woman that is in her 70s, and she is one of my best tech volunteers. Okay. You would not think this is, but she updates the website, you know, all the time. She can manage the meeting list. She catches, she really is, she helps with the flowchart of the new website. So if you're interested in it and you feel like you're tech proficient, come on, you can volunteer. My email is itchair@aca.wso.org. Or, you know, if you're hardcore nerd and so forth, then I really want you. We like hanging out with you. So that's my pitch. It's been more than my two minutes. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Brad. And I really would love Liz to talk for a moment or two. So much of what we're seeing here at this convention is a result of her hard work behind the scenes. And I have a sense that she probably didn't know what she was in for. But I think one of the most useful things for you to hear is not only what happens when you step up, but also what we learn from doing service. And so Liz, if you're still here, I'd love to hear you speak for a minute or two on that.
Thank you, Christine. I am here. oh, the things I've learned today. So I came into ACA about 5 years ago, and somebody told me that, if you were at the opening, you've already heard this line, if I want my recovery to grow faster, to grow exponentially, then I'll do service above the group level. So that's when I first became the group rep from my group, and I went to the intergroup meetings. And I was somebody who wouldn't even want to sit through a business meeting. So I've come away. I've come such a way that I'm actually on the board now. So I go to lots of meetings. But the thing about services and the wonderful thing about ACA is that we get to do what we're prepared for. When I first came into the program, sitting in the chair in my meeting was the service I was able to do. And as I grew and I gained recovery, I found my voice, I was able to step it up a notch for myself. And I became the intergroup chair and was given many learning opportunities there. And as I have continued to volunteer, I volunteered with the Northeast region, which is our brand new region in the Northeast of the US. And I've done some of the reading evaluation volunteer work. And the thing that I love about volunteering in these different committees is that I get to meet lots of people. And the people that I'm meeting are people who are really invested in recovery. And the more I communicate and cooperate with these people who are heavily invested in recovery, it increases my recovery. And that's the bottom line of why I'm here. I want to help those who are still sick and suffering, but I'm here to make changes in myself. And it gives me many opportunities. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Liz. You know, so again, I just, you know, I just reiterate that that service will challenge our boundaries. I find that I do take on too much. And I will tell you this, that on a couple, I took on one opportunity, which was to manage the website for my Connecticut intergroup. And I took this on because nobody else had said yes. And then I sat back and thought, Christine, what are you doing? You have no idea how to do this. I mean, could I learn? I suppose I could. But I thought, this does not fit with your skills and talents. This is not where your joy and your heart lead you. You're a writer. What are you doing? So I went back to my intergroup and I said, upon further reflection, I've decided to change my mind. And here's what I feared. Here's what my inner child feared. She feared she'd be shamed. She'd be told, wait a minute, you said you were going to do it. You've got to do it. There's nobody else to do it. If you don't do it, you know, everything's going to fall apart. That is not what happened. What happened is people said, thank you for setting a boundary and honoring your inner child. That I absolutely did not expect that reaction. I truly did not expect that. And that reminded me of how it is that doing service, even when I say no, doing service is how I practice my program. Because I get to be in communication with people who get my inner child and understand I'm going to take on too much, right? Who understand I'm a people pleaser and can say, Christine, it's okay. You know, you don't have to do that particular job. Let's do the jobs where your heart leads you. So when you go to that ACAWSO.org/service, when you click on that little form, which I recommend you do, you're going to see 20, 30 different opportunities. Here's my suggestion. Go where your heart leads you. Let your heart lead you to where you want to do service, because there's a place for you. I guarantee it. And it's 3:32. Wendy, we did it. How did we even do this?
I have no idea how we managed that.
I don't either. Like a miracle just occurred. So we're going to say we are a success. Good for you, Wendy.
Thank you. And I want to say to Brad, I think nothing better could have happened. I think the fact that we all found ourselves in, I was in Afrikaans, you were in a language group, you were in a birthday group, and I think everybody figured it out. And I know in my breakout room, we just said, please share in this language. And we all listened to that other language, which we might not have chosen to go into that breakout room. So thank you, Brad, for making that possible. I think that we have new sessions, and one of my jobs is to tell you that coming up on the hour at 4 o'clock will be in the green room, working the 12 steps from a secular perspective with Julianne. And there is a handout. And I've looked at that handout, and it gives you every step with some new language that is from a secular perspective. Very helpful handout. But if you stay here, over there, there will be a sing-along with Jan R. And here, there will be music with Vern N. from Canada. And after the music, at 4, will be the Beginner's Guide to the Traditions with Aaron D., Mary Jo., and Cheryl. And I just want to mention that there is a link in the chat, and that link is to a feedback survey, which is confidential. There are 7 questions, but they're just check the box. It asks you, what are the highest needs? Is it the cost of literature? Is it the cost of distribution? It asks, what topics should be in the Boundary resource book? We don't want to miss a topic. It asks how you like to receive your information. Are you looking for that blog for your information? Do you like Slack? Do you like it coming at a meeting through your fellow travelers? So that survey would be so helpful. I mean, it will be helpful if you click on the link and do it. I think it will take under 3 minutes. You'll be able to do that. Click Google Form survey, click, click, click. I see Adelina has her hand up. Do we need to ask? Hi.
Yes, hi everybody, and thank you so much. In 5 minutes, we are going to have 2 musical presentations. So if you'd like to listen to music, stay in this room. In 5 minutes, Vern from Toronto, Canada will do original and cover music. And if you want to sing, then join Jan R. in the green room. And it's in 5 minutes from now. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Darlene. You have your hand up.
Yes, I wanted to, hi, this is Darlene, ACA. I wanted to ask, there was a lot of people putting in their email addresses in the chat, and I was wondering how are they going to collect that information, because everybody wanted to do the boundaries workshop, and I'm just wondering if that was the, I mean, are you all collecting those addresses, or will you be putting an address where we can all send you, and then you will have all of the addresses recorded?
I'm going to turn that question to Brad L. with regards to emails that are currently listed in the chat for this session.
Thank you.
Heba, are you able to record the chat?
Is that I couldn't paste it.
Okay, but if they send it directly to you.
If they send it directly to me, then I'll be able to answer it.
You want to send it? The echo's terrible. The three dots in your chat. You can click that, and there'll be a safe chat there.
This is when Daphne, I did that.
We have a couple more questions. I'm going to mute everybody because we're getting an echo here. Hold on.
Darlene, you have a question.
I had my question already.
Okay, so who's the next question? Is it Ren?
I think, of course, all of this amazing conversation. And I just wanted to pass along something that really worked for me when, like, what has been shared, you know, you're not the kind of person that really wants to get in the mix. And yet, if, like, for others, for me and others, if this is really a unique and really amazing effect on your life, then what worked for me was I just tried one little thing. And that's what I encourage you to do, is just find one little thing that you can do on your tablet or on your phone or on your computer to help. And then after like 6 weeks, maybe 3 months, if you hate it, go do something else. But just doing one little thing can, well, it changed my life. So if we all did those one little things, there would be a lot less of us having to tell the other one, excuse me, pardon me, but you're a little overloaded. Your plate is a little too full. You need to like step off. That's what I'll do. Peace out.
Thank you, Ren. I know that we will need our singer to be made a co-host, I believe. Has that happened, Adelina?
That's already done.
Thank you.
Vern? Yep.
Well, I'll see final question. CF?
Hi, I see people putting... Oh, the echo's back. I see people putting their email address into the chat. Is there a reason for that, or is that just like people doing what everyone else is doing? They're saying they want to join the Boundaries Workshop. Is there actually a Boundaries Workshop that we need to provide our email address in order to be joining, or is no?
It will get to me and I will get back to you. I'm cutting and pasting, or you can just email me directly. Helen's email at cox.net, and it's on there. I'll put it again.
And that's necessary in order to join this some boundaries workshop that everybody's talking about?
We don't have any yet, but as we make them, we would be contacting you to see if you were interested.
I see.
We all work together.
There is a regular weekly meeting, Fridays, 9 to 10. It is a boundaries check-in meeting, and I will put the website where you can find that meeting under the events tab in the meeting section, and very soon it will go to the WSO meeting list, and it will be an open meeting that anyone can drop in.